This is a special night. This is not watching people dance, though beautiful that is. And we should take and expose our children to beauty and to opportunities. But this is the chance where we get to open the Word of God and have real conversations that bring us to live a life of intentionality and purpose. So I encourage you, bring your families along. Bring yourself. And as Vince has already said, if you can't make all seven, then come to six. That'd be great. So, depending on what your theology, your concept of God is, then you may think you might know where this message is going. I know where he's going with this message. This is a get-me-feeling-guilty message. Because Christ saved me, given everything for me, his very life, I have a debt to pay. I've got to pay it forward. Folks, if that's what you think this message is, you couldn't be more wrong. Get this through your head. You can never, never pay back the debt that has been paid for you. You could be the most outstanding, most upstanding community worker. Nothing you do will earn your way to be more loved by God than you already are. He loves you. Today, I want to share some good news. Don't be overcome by the sense that the problem is too big, because it isn't. It is for you and I. Today, more people are living in refugee camps than at any time before in the history of the world. More than the story of Moses and the Exodus out of Egypt. More than all the people displaced during the Second World War. It's massive. More people caught in slavery than ever before. Unbelievable. Children breaking rocks all day, digging for diamonds to dangle from our ears. Young women and men sold into prostitution at a rate more than ever before in the history of humanity. Your neighbor just down the road, overwhelmed in debt, sharing a house with 5-6 families, each just having a bedroom, a garage, not in a Calcutta, not in Calcutta, in Manurewa. Children exposed to pornography, your children, on their phones. A political system that rewards the strong and punishes the weak. An education system that filters into our very church and tells you that university, medical school, a promotion, that is where the hope lies for the future of you and your children. Your future lies. I've got a degree. Personally, I've lectured in universities. Personally, I've consulted for multinational companies and received 6-figure consultant fees. It's not the answer. My very best at generosity out of that and kindness is not enough. How many aid campaigns have you given into? And it's not enough. The brokenness around us is overwhelming, but not for Christ, from whence our help comes from. You see, verse 12 in our passage that we were looking at earlier, that calls us to love others as we would want to be loved, that if we did this, that this would change the world. Well, this impossible command starts with a so. So, in other words, a therefore. We're called to live this impossible life to love others as ourselves in everything. Everything we do is made possible by what the therefore leads us to. So let's look at it. Our therefore, verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give gifts to those who ask him? Perhaps you thought this passage was about asking for what you wanted. But actually, it's about being equipped to meet the needs of loving others. That's the context. When we see a need, we are told to ask for good gifts so we can meet those needs. And when we ask, he will answer, giving what is needed. If it were the other way, if you took this passage to mean, it is there to meet my needs, that I can ask for whatever I want and I will get it, well, we simply know that this is not true. No, our experience tells us that our prayers are not answered in this way. Why? Because if this was a spiritual law, in other words, if God was bound by this, if you could ask for whatever you wanted, unequivocally, in other words, without exception, and it would be fulfilled, if this was the reality of our prayers, then God would simply be a genie, bound to your whim, to your want. One ancient writer put it, if this were so, I would never dare pray again, for I would not trust my own judgment to ask correctly. But thankfully, we don't have a magical prayer that results in getting whatever we want. Instead, we have a Heavenly Father, incomparable to the very best human father, who would not give a snake when asked for a fish. No, our Heavenly Father is even better than this, for he is good beyond our imagination. God, who is able to look beyond the immediacy of the request, taking all factors of time and space into account, and responds for your good and the good of those around you. This passage in presenting God like a father also reveals us as children. We are to ask like children, to ask like a child. Dad, can I have a third ice cream? I'm still hungry, Dad. Dad, I want a new computer. Dad, I need a PlayStation. It would help me in my relationships with my friends. Dad, will you heal me? Dad, will you allow me to marry? Dad, will you take me home? I'm tired of waiting. Dad, can I serve you in Africa? Dad, can I sponsor a horse so that those with emotional challenges can go for a ride and experience just a moment of some joy and peace? Dad, can I know your presence in a greater measure? I think it is as we come to know him more, our requests become more and more in line with who he is. But wherever we are in the journey, we are to ask God. And God allows us to come unfiltered, like a child, and to boldly approach him and ask. We don't have to be concerned, should I be asking for this, God? No, he says, ask. He's wise. We're not. We're to ask. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. That's our job, to ask for whatever we want. His is to be the good Father, so that his purposes in us and through us are brought into being. He will know how to answer, when to answer. What a relief, what a joy to serve a God who sees all, knows all, loves all. I said I had a confession to make. To do that, I want to tell you a story. This reflects my prayer life. This is my moment of going to blow you away. I put it on, but I won't. I used to be able to hold my breath like a really long time. 2 minutes, no problem. Easy. That was easy. Off the coast of Panama, you find commercial fishing longliners ranging in length from a few kilometres to over 100 kilometres long. So these are lines that are put in the ocean with hooks every so many metres to catch fish. They do it between there and Galapagos because there's this incredible trench through there and the fish are abundant and they're stripping it. So when you sail over this ocean, periodically you come to these long lines and they're marked by little floats. When you reach them, you think, how long's this one? Where am I on this line? If I turn left, just over that way, the line could be started. If I turn left, 100 kilometres, and right at that place there, actually, it's the becalmed area. There's very, very light winds. And so you could sail literally in calm winds for days to be able to get round the end. So I used to jump off the front of the boat, and I would find the line, which was suspended just below the surface typically, and I would push it down, and I'd swim down so the boat could slowly pass above, and then I'd come back up and climb onto the back of the boat and we would sail past. Often when we were anchored, I would jump into the water and spend a couple of minutes underwater making sure the anchor was well set. Sometimes this would be in 70 feet of water. So the time you get down there, you were swallowing air that so that you could last until you got back up to the surface. Once when we were in a harbour, we tried to pull up the anchor and it became stuck on the bottom. Now the water was bad, like really, really bad. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. So I followed the chain down and I put my feet either side of the chain and I grabbed it and I pulled with all my might and one of my legs just plunged right into the skoo up to my knee and here I am stuck on the bottom, several feet underwater. And so I started to dig, and I'm swallowing the air, trying to keep myself going. Rachel's up top, wondering where I am. Finally, I managed to release the suction around my leg to release myself, come back up to the surface, and then I proceeded to go up and down, trying to dig this anchor out of this muck so we could then raise it. Up to the surface, fresh air. Load up with fresh air, back down again, in amongst the muck, into the darkness, back up to the top again, more air, breath of fresh air, back down again. People, this is a picture of my broken prayer life. Just this week, I was so caught up in a conversation with someone that needed the power of God totally infused. My response was like diving with a snorkel. Where'd I put the snorkel? There. Away from life-giving air for too long. My response, being desperate rather than measured and full of grace. Too often I come to God almost like the Old Testament people, coming to the temple on an annual basis and then go away until they run out of air, then return to the surface, to the temple, for more of God. But we're told that we don't have to live like this anymore. Our passage today is echoed in Luke chapter 11. In Matthew, it says, God will answer our prayers by giving us good gifts. In Luke nuances this in a different way. He records Jesus' words as, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is the good gift. And so, in one sense, and this is a limited picture because even this runs out of air, but it's like going diving with the tank. There's this constant supply of air, refreshing, connected to me. This good gift that we receive from God, it's It's the very presence of God himself. If we live in this way, then our engagement with those around us is radically changed. If you've been snorkeling and then gone diving, it's night and day. You see so much more. You're aware of so much more. It's like going from a snorkel to a dive tank, only the tank never runs out of air. Every week, I read a promise over us from the book of Matthew to end our service. His promise to us as a church to never leave us. We actually carry the presence of God always. But too often I operate as if I only have a snorkel. This call to ask, seek, knock demonstrates a persistence. Not because God is not listening. He heard us on the first knock. But it's to remind us to stay constantly in connection with the Father, to pray without ceasing. Excuse me. Imagine what life we could live if we lived constantly breathing in his presence afresh. Not seeking to hold our breath out of fear. What will people think if I help this person? What will they think if I offer to pray for them? What if, sustained by his breath, I hand them a blanket and pray for them? Not as a condition of love, but as an extension of love. Imagine what life you could live. Imagine the prayers you would pray. Your Father stands ready to answer all your requests when we operate from his Spirit. Finally, I want to acknowledge that we're all in different points along a journey that God invites us all on. If you're here today because you want to know if God loves you, then let me tell you that that question is something that he has already answered. He loved you so much that 2,000 years ago, before you were even born, the God of the universe came in person into a world that he created long ago that he had entrusted to us and of which we have corrupted beyond imagination. And rather than judge us, he said, I will clean it. I will clean you. I will make sense out of the mess that you have made. He personally has become the answer to that prayer. Today, like every day, he offers us the gift of his Holy Spirit to come and live inside us, bringing about a transformation that we could never achieve in a billion years. He offers us a life of intimacy and purpose that sustains us in the most dark, airless places, so that light and life can be brought there as well. If you'd like someone to pray with you and introduce you to this God who loves you and offers to set you free from all that damage that has damaged you and limits you and who he has called you to be, then please come and talk with myself or any of his friends here today. And there are many friends here today. Because these words that we've read this morning of Christ tell us that when we ask, he will answer. Let's pray. God, thank you for your Spirit that is always with us. Thank you that we can breathe in the fresh air of your Spirit. Throughout your word, one of the pictures you give of your Spirit is wind, air, breath. God, so often I forget that I have you with me. And I breathe stuff that's not even of you. Or I hold my breath and try to get by with what you've already given me. But you've told us in your word, keep on asking. Keep breathing in you. So that we can do the very things that are impossible with our own breath. May we breathe afresh every day, again and again, more of you. It's my prayer, Lord. I want to live a life that is extraordinary. To love my children as you love them. To love my wife as you love her. To be that, Lord, would be a miracle. And I can only do that in the fullness of what you would have that be if I'm drawing on your presence. Lord, I can be kind to the homeless. But you want us to be so much more. We're to surpass the law. We're to offer something greater than ourselves. You. Give me your spirit again, afresh, so that I can be more than who I am. So that I can truly partner with you to bring change into this broken world. Ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to finish with one song, but we're going to...